fourth grade, you are dismissed to worshipers in training.
Good morning, everyone. Today's preaching passage is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7 to chapter 12, verse 8. It's found on page 559 in the Pew Bible. Again, Ecclesiastes 11, 7 to 12, 8. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in all of them. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the days when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. This is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God.
Well, let's go to the Lord and ask his help as we turn to his word this morning. Well, God, we need your voice in our lives. God, we lack the wisdom that we need to make sense of this world and our own lives. God, we need to hear from you. And so we ask this morning that you would speak. God, I pray this morning that you would speak and that we would hear your voice and your wisdom, wisdom that brings life. We ask in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Well, friends, here we are in the second to last sermon in our series through the book of Ecclesiastes, and I just want to say this has been an incredibly challenging book to preach, but I hope it's been a helpful book for you and impactful for you in some way, at least in your lives. I do want to take a brief moment here before I even just get into this week's message and kind of give you an idea of what's going to be ahead. So we're going to wrap up Ecclesiastes next Sunday, and after that, we're going to take 2 weeks for a very short topical series called Not Ashamed of the Gospel. And in these 2 weeks, I want to take that time to talk about some pressing social and political issues. I don't think it's a controversial statement to say that there are social and political issues that are affecting us all today, I mean really affecting everybody, but ones that are actually uniquely affecting Christians today. And before you too quickly give your amen to that, I want to add my observation that I see many Christians not responding well to those issues. And so I want to take just a couple of weeks to talk about what some of those issues are, and more importantly, talk about how the gospel, how the good news of what God has done for us in his son Jesus should shape the way that we as Christians see and respond to this strange new world we find ourselves in today. So that's just 2 weeks, and after that we're going to start our Advent series a little bit early. Now, like, I know Advent, like, is a set thing on the calendar. Like, I don't control that. But we're just going to begin our Advent sermon series a couple weeks earlier as we start the Gospel of Matthew, where we will be for quite some time. And I think it will be good for us as a church to just focus our attention on Christ and the Gospel of Matthew. Okay. I tell you that just kind of as a preview so that you can know what's coming, but today we are still in Ecclesiastes, and I've titled the message today, Wisdom for Growing Old. Maybe you thought to yourself, wait a minute, why do I need wisdom for growing old? I mean, isn't growing old something that just kind of just like happens to me like all on its own, right? Like the earth turns, the days pass, and time just kind of does its work on us. And of course, there's a sense in which that's true. I mean, you and I don't need to do anything to age. You don't need to, like, put it on your, like, your to-do list, like, or, like, goals this year. Like, turn 40. Like, oh, yeah, I've forgotten to work on that. I better give that some time and attention so I can age this year. Like, obviously, that's not how it works. However, there is more than one way to grow old. In other words, yes, time and age will happen to us all, but there's no guarantee that it will happen well. And I'm not talking about your waistline or your hairline or your wrinkle lines. I'm talking about the kind of people we become as we grow old. You know, it's interesting, we have a very strange relationship with age and old age in particular in our culture. I mean, on the one hand, we do actually have this, like, this, maybe I can say mild appreciation for age. We have this, like, mild appreciation for the wisdom that can come from many years of life lived. But the trick is, you don't automatically become wiser just by living more days under the sun. It is just as possible to be an old fool as it is to be a wise old sage. In fact, sometimes it is age itself that can actually be so disorienting to us. It's been said, maybe you've heard this, that inside every old person is a young person wondering, what happened? And if that's true, that also means inside every young person is an old person who is not ready for what's to come. Like I said, we have a strange relationship with old age. On the one hand, we have a mild appreciation for wisdom that can come with old age, and yet old is like the one thing young people never want to be. We spend billions of dollars a year trying to push back any evidence of our aging. And listen, I'm not trying to give you a hard time if you use, you know, eye cream and hair dye and all that kind of stuff. I'm just simply pointing out that growing old is not something we are taught to embrace. If anything, we are taught to resist it. And if we are taught to resist it, then how on earth can we possibly do it well? Well, here in Ecclesiastes, the preacher, the main character of the book who we've been kind of following these last 14 weeks or so, here the preacher brings us to his final words of wisdom. Wisdom for growing old, and really this wisdom comes down to two words. Just two words that you and I need to have wisdom for growing old. Here they are, rejoice and remember. Somehow the preacher can tell us that these are the two keys, the two things that we need to be wise as we grow old. Rejoice and remember. Let me just take a minute to explain what these two words mean so we're all on the same page. When the preacher says rejoice, he doesn't mean, you know, like just like make a noise. This is not make a joyful noise. This is not even like, you know, just try your hardest to pretend like everything's going well. No, what he's saying to rejoice here, it means to actively try to seek and to foster this genuine sense of joy and happiness in your life. Friends, that is not an unspiritual thing. It is not God's goal in life to make you unhappy. He doesn't want you to be happy any way that you want, but it is not his goal in life to make you happy. In fact, we are actually taught and instructed. We've seen this all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. God wants us to find joy in the things that he has given us in life. That's not unspiritual. It is a necessary thing, part of what it means to be human, part of what God created us for. One of the keys to growing old well is just learning how to cultivate joy in your life no matter what comes. That's what it means to rejoice. But also we need to remember. And that doesn't just mean simply like recall something. I mean, yeah, granted, probably different ones of us have different recall. But this doesn't mean simply just recalling something like, you know, like the way I can recall my telephone number from when I was like 5 years old, like 508-528-7385. That's just... it's always going to be in there. Like from when I was 5 years old, that was our home telephone number. For whatever reason, I can never forget that. But that's not what this is saying. It's not just a simple recall of information. This means to give the appropriate attention and weight to something that is important. Like if I say, remember your wedding day, that doesn't just mean remember the number of the day and the month and the year. It means to remember it in all of its significance and to give your thought to it. It's to remember it with a twinkle in your eye. That's what it means here to rejoice and remember. And if you're wondering, well, wait a minute, those are just two words. Like, they're left incomplete. We're going to need a little bit more to kind of fill that idea out. And that's precisely where the preacher takes us. There's actually two things. Two things in each of these, two things that we need to rejoice in and two things that we need to remember. So here they are. I hope you're ready for them. Number one, first, we need to rejoice in all the days we have, but remember that not all of them are going to be good. I know that sounds like almost so simple, like, wait a second. Are you sure that's all you're trying to say here? Don't we all just know that? But no, we really don't. Like, this is the wisdom that we need to help us grow old well. We need to learn how to rejoice in all the days that we have, every single one of them, and remember that not every single one of them is going to be good. That's what the preacher says there in verse 7 and 8. He says, rejoice in all the days you have. Like verse 7, light is sweet. It's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. In other words, we need to rejoice in all the days that we have just because it's simply a good thing to be alive. Turns out one of the secrets to growing old well in this world really is to learn to find joy even in just the little things of life. The little things of life that we just so often just take for granted, like breath in our lungs and food on our table and friends and family in our lives. Even just the light and the warmth of the sun shining on us. I mean, if you can get out of bed in the morning and look outside and see the light of the sun and feel the warmth of it shining on you, then there is something, at least something, for you and I to rejoice in. Look, I know that compared to some of the things that are happening in our lives, the sun shining might seem like a small consolation. I mean, especially right now, even as we think about the things that are happening all over the world, many of those things that Matthew wonderfully just prayed for earlier in our service this morning, many unsettling things. And listen, friends, it's right for us to know about those things. It's right for us to care about those things. It's right for us to pray about those things, but not to be consumed by those things. Listen, the reason the preacher talks about the sun isn't because he thinks it just really is the the coolest thing and like the most wonderful thing to enjoy in all of the creation. But the light that the sun gives, I mean, these things are created by God. And no matter what happens in this world, you and I have absolutely no control over them whatsoever. The light of the sun. I mean, God has fixed this thing for us as a reminder that this is His world. He made it. He put us into it. And He put us into it in order that we might enjoy all the days of our lives the best that we can. Which means even today, which, friends, like for late October, like this is saying something. Even today, even in a little while, when you and I will leave here on this morning, we will leave here stepping out into the bright sun of a crisp fall day with absolutely magnificent and beautiful foliage just bursting into our view in this artistic display that is unrivaled by anything you and I could ever create, all as a reminder to you that God has made all this, God has made you, He's put you into the world to enjoy the beauty of the world, even if it is broken and fallen. And, by the way, it is. It is. The preacher's not telling you just to bury your head in the sand and pretend like everything is just fine and dandy. No, the whole point is he says we need to rejoice in all the days that we have, but we also need to remember that not all of them are going to be good. I mean, notice how he finishes his thought in verse 8. If a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. Look, friends, in some ways what the preacher is saying is just like so obvious. It's just like so plainly obvious to anyone who's lived like any amount of life. Like basically there's good days and there's bad days. Not every day is going to be a good day. And you're like, yeah, we know that. Like obviously. But then why do we seem so shocked when the bad days come? Why do we become so unglued when the bad days come? And that's the whole point. The preacher says there's good days and bad days. Not every day is going to be a good day. So don't expect all of them to be good days. And look, that might sound like a downer. Like it might sound like what the preacher is actually saying is trying to like depress you in some way. But it's actually, he's not. He's trying to help us. This is in keeping with the overall wisdom that we've been seeing unfolding all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. Don't ask things to be more than what they can be. Life is great. Rejoice in all that you can, but there's gonna be bad days. And you can't expect anything otherwise. And the sooner that you and I learn that lesson, the better we will be able to rejoice in all of our days, knowing that some are gonna be up and some are gonna be down. Listen, if you're thinking to yourself, you know what, okay, fine, but that still all sounds just really too simple, it's because it is. Because really this whole thing, I think, here in verses 7 and 8, this whole thing is just a setup. Because even right now, as I'm saying to you that there's going to be good days and bad days and probably many bad days, there are some of you here who are thinking, like, especially if you're younger here, you're thinking, nah. Most of them are still going to be pretty good days. Which is why we need this second rejoice and remember. A preacher says, rejoice especially in your youth and remember your maker while you still can. Rejoice especially in your youth. I mean, look what the preacher says there beginning in verse 9. He says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. In other words, don't just rejoice when you're young. Don't just rejoice in the days of your youth, but also rejoice in actually being young. I mean, there is a uniqueness to youth and a a God-given goodness to youth that we need to appreciate and enjoy while we have it. And some of you are wondering, like, all right, what's the cutoff mark? Like, where's the number? Like, where's the age for youth? And look, you know I'm not going to stand up here and give you a number. If I did, I'd probably come back and change it in a few years anyway. I think the most I can say is this. There are some of you who think of yourselves as youth who are probably not. And some of you who think you're not in your youth but probably still are. I will let you figure it out. But friends, the idea of youth that the preacher seems to be talking about here is not just a number, but actually seems to have more to do with the responsibilities and the stresses and the pains that come with older age. And listen, like, if you're here this morning, if you're a younger person, and I'll just let you kind of self-categorize for that, but if you're a younger person, especially if you're like really young, like you're still living at home and that kind of thing, it might feel like you don't have a whole lot of freedom in this world because maybe your parents are always like telling you what to do, things like make your bed, especially the last month or so after that last sermon we had in Ecclesiastes, right? Your parents are always telling you like clean up your room and do your homework. It might feel like you don't have a whole lot of freedom, but what the preacher's saying is that actually when you are a young person, you have more freedom than you will later, so make sure you enjoy it now. Not freedom to do just whatever you want, but freedom from the pressures and the anxieties and the stresses that come with older age. What the preacher's saying is here, like, don't be so quick to grow up. And look, I realize that, yes, today in our world, there are probably some young people who need the encouragement to become a little bit more responsible. That's fair. But it's also the case that there are plenty of young people who are constantly trying to look ahead to the rest of their lives and embrace the responsibilities and pressures and pains that come with older age, that it's also good for us to say, slow down. Like, just hold on and appreciate to the days that you are in now. Don't rush to have the pressures and anxieties that are going to come later. That's what he says. Remove, verse 10, remove vexation from your heart, put away pain from your body, for youth and dawn of life are vanity. Remember that word vanity there. It doesn't mean meaningless, despite what some translations say. Here it doesn't mean vanity. Here it means like vapor. It's like smoke. It's just, it's here one day and gone the next. This youth is going to go by quick. Don't rush it away faster than you need to. Because listen, the pressures are coming. I mean, when you're no longer just in school or even just like having a part-time job, but when job becomes career, the kind of pressure valve, the pressure knob turns up, and then all of a sudden you've got a mortgage and like home repairs to deal with, and then the pressure valve turns up. I mean, like my friend Ryan Boyer likes to say, why be happy when you can be a homeowner? It's me, bud. The pressure valve turns up. You get more responsibilities, and you've got kids, and you just can't escape the sense of being responsible for these other human beings. And the pressure valve just kind of tightens and tightens a little more. And not just on these pressures and anxieties out there in the world, but also just like even like the physical pain and pressure that we feel in our bodies when you get older. You're going to hurt more. And I know that even though I say that, you still don't believe me. Right? Like if you're in your 30s, and you're already making noise when you get off the couch like that, you know, like that, right? Like, look out, because it's coming. What the preacher's saying is like, listen, rejoice in your youth. Appreciate whatever aspect of youth you still have to appreciate. But what about after your youth? I have no idea what that is. It might be my beard. He says it's my pack. All right. Rejoice in the days of your youth. Rejoice in the days of your youth. But what do you do after the days of your youth? What do you do when the days of youth are gone? How can you rejoice in those days? And this is where that second remember comes in. Yes, rejoice in the days of your youth, but remember your Maker while you still can. Friends, that's the whole point of this poetic description of old age there in chapter 12. It's really all there in verses 1 to 8. Remember your maker while you can before the day comes when you no longer have the faculties and the abilities to enjoy the pleasures of life, verse 1. Remember your maker while you can before all the lights grow dim, verse 2. Remember your maker while you can before you lose all of your vitality. That's the point of verses 3 to 5. These verses, you know, they're interesting. It's hard to know if he's communicating these things here allegorically or metaphorically. He says, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, strong men are bent, grinders cease because they're few, those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut. It's like, what is he talking about here? There are some that see this allegorical. Like, he's talking about arms trembling, legs getting bent, teeth missing, eyesight going away, your hearing being lost, and all of these are sort of like allegorical descriptions of old age. And I don't know if that's what he's trying to say, but it is true about getting old. And isn't it amazing how before we're told to rejoice in the little things of life, and then all of a sudden it's the littlest things of life that make life so hard? When the grinders cease because they are few. I mean, if that is talking about teeth, I mean, just think about that. You gotta eat to live. You gotta have teeth to eat. And what do you do when they're all gone? I know we have dentistry, but you get the point. The point the preacher's making is that there's a day coming for all of us. Maybe it's not allegorical. Maybe it's meant more just metaphorically. Like, you know, it's just the case that as you look around at the world, like all the hustle and bustle of activity begins to cease. The keepers of the house are losing strength. The strong men are getting that kind of, you know, the bend in their spine. And the grinders cease because there's just fewer of them. And the doors are closed up because businesses go away. I mean, when was the last time you walked around a shopping mall? Like, I remember, like, when I was, like, a kid, when I was in my youth, when I was in high school, like, if you didn't have anything to do on a Friday night, you'd go to the mall because that's where everyone was. Like, hey, Ma, give me a ride to the mall because there's just people were hanging out. Now if you go to a mall, it's just empty. All the stores are shut up. There's just nothing going on. Friends, that is a picture of what we will feel like one day in our own bodies as all our vitality drains out of us. It's old age, and it's coming for us all. And you will begin to think differently about some of the simplest things of life. I mean, one rises up at the sound of a bird. The daughters of song are brought low. They're afraid also of what is high. Terrors are in the way. I mean, think about the contrast of your life, right? So in your youth, don't rush to take on responsibilities and pressures of age too fast. But also know that if God grants you many years, there's a day coming when sleep and stares are going to be a big problem for you. Some of you are laughing. You're like, you're either laughing because you already know that and it rings true. Maybe. I really hope you're not laughing because you're still thinking, no, come on, that's not going to happen to me. But that's how we think in our youth. We think, no, even though this is what everyone says happens, I'm going to be the exception. I'm going to prevent this from happening. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to work out. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to exercise. And those are all good things to do. But none of those things, should God grant you many years of life, none of those things will be able to hold off this description of old age forever. I mean, the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along. I mean, think of those pictures. The point being is that the almond tree was one of the first trees to blossom in the spring in Israel, and that meant it was one of the first ones whose flowers fall to the ground, and it was an indicator that the time is coming. The seasons are changing. I mean, think about this image of a grasshopper. Like, what do grasshoppers do? Like, what their essential nature is that, like, they jump around, they spring, like, they fly all over the place. That, and they do so nimbly, it's almost like they disappear and reappear somewhere else. But if you've ever seen an old grasshopper who can no longer jump, all he can do is just drag his little leg along, you know time's coming up pretty soon for that little grasshopper. What the preacher's saying is that is our life. And again, we always think that we're the exception. I want to encourage you to talk to somebody who is older than you. Talk to somebody who's older than you in every decade of life older than you. Right? Because when you're in your 20s, you have your dreams about what your 30s are going to be like. And in your 30s, you have your dreams about what your 40s are going to be like. And in your 40s, you have your dreams about what your 50s are going to be like. And in your 50s, see where I'm going with this? You have dreams about what your retirement's going to be like. And then you get there, and you look back and you realize, well, wait a minute, none of those other decades went like I planned. And now that I'm here, nothing on me works the way that it did in my 20s and 30s and 40s and probably even your 50s. We need to remember our Maker while we can, before it is too late, before the end actually arrives, as the preacher says in verse 6, before the silver cord is snapped, before the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Friends, there is a day coming at the end of our age, an event that will be final. Like a pitcher falling and smashing on the ground, and you will not be able to put the pieces back together. And what the preacher is saying is that you need to remember your Maker. You need to remember God. And if you remember how we define that word remember, that doesn't just mean recall him, but you need to give him the attention and the weight that he is due, that he is worthy in your youth while you still can. Because yes, rejoice in the days of your youth, but when those days of youth are gone, what will you have left to rejoice in? And the only thing that you will have to fall back on is if you know your Maker. Listen, friends. This day is going to come sooner than you and I think. I mean, did you catch that refrain that was here in the passage all throughout? Three times he talks about vanity. Vanity, verse 8, he concludes this whole thing. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's like vapor, it's like a smoke, here today, gone tomorrow, before you and I know it. As it's been said, the days are long, but the years are short. So we need to remember our Maker while we can. It's hard to imagine that the preacher can sum up this whole book of wisdom and sum up all his words of wisdom for growing old in these two things: rejoice and remember. Friends, this is it. This is the wisdom of the preacher as we grow old. But friends, once again, as we've been seeing all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, we know more than he does. Not like we're smarter than him and that kind of thing, but more has been revealed to us here and now than what was revealed to him then. And so much of what he's pointing out is just the frustrations of life that you and I can observe right here under the sun. But friends, listen, if it's the case that we should rejoice in our youth and remember our Creator, how much more so should we rejoice in our salvation and remember our Redeemer? If we're supposed to rejoice in our youth, how much more so should we ought to here and now, knowing all that we know, rejoice in our salvation? Because our youth is fleeting, but our salvation is eternal. I mean, rejoice in all the days that you have, good and bad. But here's the thing. What if your bad days just simply outnumber all the good ones? I mean, how are we supposed to sit with that? How are we supposed to just kind of resign ourselves to that and be okay with that? And that is going to be true for many people on this world. The bad days will outnumber the good. How can we just say, rejoice in all the days you have, if that's it? Friends, if we can rejoice in our salvation, the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, salvation from this final event when the silver cord is snapped and the golden bowl is broken, we know from the life, death, and resurrection of Christ that God is able. We are not, but God himself is able to actually put back the broken pieces of life and bring life out of death, and he promises to do that for every single one of us who puts our faith in his Son, Jesus. Which means if we can rejoice in our salvation, then how much more so can we actually rejoice in all the days that God gives us, knowing that no matter how many are good and how many are bad, what we have ahead in store for us is nothing but days that will one day, eventually, only, always, ever be all good. Which is why we need to remember not just our Maker, but we need to remember our Redeemer. Remember that, yes, that God is the one who made us, God is the one who made everything, but God is also the one who sent his Son so that we could come through the pains of old age and even death and have life on the other side. I mean, friends, the preacher's not trying to say that all the stuff about old age is just something that we should just kind of, you know, take as being just natural and normal and good. No, it will happen to every single one of us if we live long enough, but not because it's natural. Because God has subjected the entire created order to this futility that affects us even in our very lives, in our bodies, in our minds, in our faculties, as life itself slowly drains from us as the years go on. But all of this frustration is meant to draw our eyes to the one that we rebelled against in the first place, because he is the only one who can give us life, and he has given us that life. He's given us that life freely in the person of his Son, Jesus, our Redeemer, who we need to remember. We need to give him the weight and the worth and the attention that he deserves, and we need to give that to him in the days of our youth. In other words, we need to give that to him while we still can. Listen, it is never too soon, and you will never be too young to give your life to Christ. Because there is nothing in this world that you will miss out on that's not worth losing for the sake of knowing Christ. I know we all tend to get impressed and moved by those testimonies where people lived those, you know, crazy, rebellious years of life, rebelling against God and creating all sorts of havoc, and then some kind of amazing thing comes into their lives, and they turn around, they give their lives to Christ, and they turn their whole lives around, and that is incredible and wonderful and all that kind of stuff, but my favorite testimonies are the ones where people say, you know, at a young age, I grew up in a Christian family. At a young age, my parents told me about Christ, and from as long as I can remember, I've known Christ and have followed Christ. That is a beautiful thing. Remember your Redeemer in your youth and give your life to him. But here's the other thing you need to know this morning. Here's the beauty of the grace of the gospel. The grace of the gospel that we don't always see in the common grace of aging. No, at some point age will not be gracious to you, but God is gracious to you even in your old age, such that if you're here this morning and you no longer fit into that category of youth, and even if you put yourself not in that category of youth, but you can still understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, then that means it is not too late. No matter how old you are, it is still not too late to remember your Redeemer and to give your life to Him, which is the only thing that can actually give you the joy you want as you enter your old age. Friends, knowing Christ is not going to stop you from growing old, but rejoicing in your salvation and remembering your Redeemer can give you all the joy that you need, even as the years of your age rack up and the vitality of your life grows dim. And one day, even if you can no longer see in this life, you will see Him face to face. And we can rejoice today knowing that we will rejoice together on that day. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your words of wisdom to us here this morning. God, I pray for every one of us, no matter what stage of life we are in, young or old, that You would enable us to have as much joy as we can in this life that You've given us, but that no matter what, that we would remember You and acknowledge You in all the ways of our lives, knowing that if we do, long after we have lost everything we have in this life, we will still have You, and if we have You, that will always be enough. And Lord, I cannot help but think of those who have already passed into an age in which they can no longer remember. They can no longer remember the things they did in their youth. But God, we rejoice because if they remembered You in the days of their youth, even if they cannot remember You now, it's enough that You will remember them. Would You remember us all on that day and help us rejoice in all the days You give us between now and then? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, let's take a moment.